Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. So happy to share God's word with you this morning. Looking forward to meeting together soon, and we'll keep you posted on that on our website and on the Facebook page. But God bless you guys. We've been praying for you every day. We love you. We're pulling for you, and know that God is with you. He is for you. And so I want to share to you today part four of a sermon series we've been doing on called A Royal Priesthood. And we believe the best response for us as a church is to equip you to minister in your sphere of influence. So we're one church, but right now we're scattered maybe 50 different locations and homes and people all throughout the area serving as priests in this time. And we really believe in the priesthood of all believers, that if you're a believer, you've been called to minister. And so today, part four is called The Priesthood and Healing Prayer. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you today to pray for those who are sick. And it's a relevant message to pray for those, all those struggling with this virus and what's been going on in our world. And so Jesus in Luke 5, he healed someone and he said, go and present yourself to the priest in Luke 5:14. And the reason Jesus did that with people like lepers was so that the priest could say, hey, you're healthy, you're well, you're reinstated into society. And Jesus would do that often. And Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king, the great priest, and he's called us as a royal priesthood to carry on his ministry. One of the things about Jesus that Bible scholars believe is that he spent most of his time praying for sick people. When you read about his ministry, you know, that 3-year span of ministry, he was praying for people sometimes so much he didn't even get a chance to eat. He was praying for people so much. And so that was such a huge part of his identity, was as a healer. And Jesus did that, and that was part of who he was. That was part of his identity. And I can't imagine him not passing that on to his church, those who've called to be his body. In the Old Testament, God reveals his character and his nature as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, God who heals you. And so God is our healer, and he wants to use us to be a healing church that just equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to the sick and to pray for the sick and see God move in mighty ways. You know, we are called and equipped to pray for healing as believers in Jesus. And I want to show that to you from Scripture in Mark chapter 16. Verse 18, it says this: They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Now, how does this? Well, let me read to you the context. Jesus is speaking to his church in the end of Mark, and it begins this way. In verses 15 and 16, and then he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone, and anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. And so this ministry of healing is for all those who believe. It's the priesthood of all believers. We all get to pray for the sick, and God has given it to us this way. You don't have to be on television to pray for the sick. You don't have to wear a nice flashy suit with lots of gold to pray for the sick. Ordinary, everyday believers can pray for the sick and see them healed because it's Jesus in us that does the healing. And so I want to encourage you that Jesus can use you in a mighty way. I was encouraged this week when I read Luke chapter 7. I want to read that to you, where Jesus healed and he wasn't even in the room. And so it was a long distance prayer for healing. And I want to challenge you, pray for all those who have this coronavirus. It can be a long distance healing. You don't even have to know their name, but you can pray for them and lift them up in prayer. I want to challenge the whole body of Christ to be praying for those who are sick and to continue to pray for them. But listen to this story from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are." I love that. "Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, and come, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Amazing. Just say the prayer from where you are. You know, you can pray for people in this time and make a huge impact. We talked about last week how Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law from a high fever. And Jesus, I believe, offers that healing power to his church as we pray and intercede for others. And it's Jesus who does the work through our prayers. He's an amazing God. And so the challenge is that we would continue to pray for those who are sick and carry on the healing ministry that God has given to his church. In John 14:12, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with my Father." Does that not blow your mind? Incredible. "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me," Jesus said, "will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with my Father." That's an incredible thought. Jesus is saying to his followers, "You're going to do those same works that I've done." And so what Jesus is saying there is not in quality. Nobody's ever going to surpass the quality of what Jesus did. Not in quality, but in quantity. When you think about millions of believers down through church history, praying for the sick and seeing miracles, incredible healing miracles. And I want to challenge you to be part of that history of the church, of those who have prayed and seen results and those who have made a difference through their prayers by praying for the sick. I want to read to you from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And Jesus says this in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new believers to obey all the commandments, all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus says, teach them everything I've taught you. And Jesus told them, go and heal the sick. So teach them to go and pray for the sick. You know, that's part of the commission of Jesus to the church. We're to equip others to carry on the priesthood of all believers and to carry on the ministry of healing. You know, so what did Jesus teach? Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. This is one of the things that Jesus taught his followers that we're called to teach as the church. It says here in Luke 9, verses 1 through 2, "One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." That was Jesus's plan, to reach the world, that it would include healing and that people would realize that God is good. God is good and that he cares about me. And so one of the things that Jesus has called us to pass on to others as the church is the truth that God desires to heal and he desires to do it through his church. and He has given us power and authority. And you can ask God for more of that power and authority to do His will and to pray for those who are struggling, pray for those who are sick. You know, some doubt this calling. You know, there's a branch of the church that believes that the miracles that we see in the Bible no longer occur, and that the gifts of healing ceased at the end of the apostolic age. And those who believe that way are called cessationists, and they're good people. They believe the Lord, they believe the Bible, but I don't believe it's true. And the reason is because all the way through church history, documentation of miracles is evident. And so it's been a part of the church, not just in the book of Acts, but all the way through. And sometimes we give up on the gift of healing or the ministry of healing because we haven't seen the results in our own personal lives. But we can't base what we believe off of our own personal experience, but we base what we believe off of the truth of Scripture and what Scripture says. And so I just encourage those who may believe that way to maybe reconsider and pray and make your own search of church history, and even of what's going on in the world today. It's becoming, the healing ministry is becoming more and more evident, and I will talk about that in a moment. But from church history, think about miracles down through the centuries that many believers have seen miracles and documented them and seen them often. Augustine was a cessationist. He believed that the gifts, that the healing gifts were no longer available to the church. And as he was writing the City of God, pastoring a local church, he witnessed two very incredible miracles back to back in his church. While writing this, he reconsidered his theology, and he became a believer in the miraculous power of healing prayer. And over the span of 2 years, he recorded over 70 miracles in his local church in the span of 2 years. What a shift for Augustine. I think about people like John Fox. John Fox, he studied martyrdom, wrote a book on the martyrs, and was a student and a preacher, student of the word and a preacher. And he had many notable miracles in his ministry. I think about John Wesley, and he led one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen in the history of the church. John Wesley recorded many miracles that happened in his ministry, that revival that took place, you know, and recorded those miracles. I think about others, you know, like Patrick of Ireland, who witnessed many miracles. And so those are just a few, but it's documented down through the ages where God has continued to heal. And it happens more regularly when we have faith to believe, and when we believe it's for us. That really helps with the ministry of prayer. And stay with me. I want to share with you more of some of the reasons that we might not see healing as often as we like, and there are, I believe, good reasons for that, and I'm going to share that with you this morning. But I wanted to share with you a statement from Craig Keener. He's a New Testament scholar and a student of the Book of Acts, and he tells us that hundreds of millions of people globally have witnessed or experienced a healing miracle on par with what we read about in the book of Acts. Hundreds of millions of people have experienced miracles or witnessed firsthand miracles on par with the book of Acts. And that's what Jesus was saying in John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works, because I go to be with the Father. Now, there's been some errors in the church over the years, and I want to talk about one of those, and I want to illustrate it through a story in Scripture, Acts chapter 3. And in Acts chapter 3, Jesus heals a crippled beggar. Or I'm sorry, not Jesus, Peter heals a crippled beggar in Acts chapter 3, and you can read the story in its entirety. And I want to read to you Acts 3, verse 6. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. And the story continues. This man is miraculously healed. And it says here in verses 12 through 13, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. And I want to read to you verse 16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. And so Peter teaches us a lot about the healing ministry right in this passage. Number one, the prayer is a prayer of command. Be healed in Jesus' name. And if you study New Testament scripture, that's often the case. The majority of the times, it's a prayer of command. Because you're not ordering God around when you pray this way. You're doing what God has asked you to do as his ambassador. And so Peter, lets us in on another secret of healing prayer. He lets us in on the truth. It's not Peter who's healing, it's Jesus who's healing through the ministry of Peter. And it's not a sign of Peter's holiness or godliness that made this man well. Rather, it's the power of God manifest in the name of Jesus through healing prayer. And so it's a very powerful thing. There was an error in the church that happened, where after the early church, then there was this shift that whenever healing miracles happened, it was a sign of a person's holiness, and we should take note of that holiness and document how holy this person was because they had these healing miracles happen in their ministry. But Peter tells us from the very beginning, it's not about my holiness. It's not about, my godliness. It's about Jesus. And so this opens up healing prayer to everyone, no matter whether you're a new believer or you've been a believer for 35 years, you can pray for healing. Jesus has made us clean, and it's because of his work on the cross that we're saved and we're washed clean. We're given his righteousness and his holiness. And your healing ministry is not based on your personal godliness. It's based on Jesus within you. And so Jesus invites us to be a part of the healing ministry. And Peter confronts this error. No, healing miracles are not given to prove people's holiness. Healing miracles are given because God wants his church to be like Jesus. And so in James chapter 5, we see another error confronted. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, James says this, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. And so here's something where James, and the leader of the early church, and he says this, that, come if you're sick and be prayed for, not by the apostles, but by the elders of the local church. And so the gift of healing did not end with the last apostle. Elders were praying. Elders were praying and healing was happening. And so it's a challenge to us. If you're sick, from God's word, don't feel like you're ordering God around when you're praying for the sick. You're simply doing what God has asked you to do. When you're sick, ask the elders of the church to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And I want to confront another challenge. It seems that this day and age, there's such a fascination with oils. And in this passage, it's not the oil that heals. It's faith in God, and it's God's power that heals. And oil in Scripture is simply a picture of the Holy Spirit's ministry. whenever someone was being anointed for to be king, or whenever someone was to be anointed to be prophet, you know, oil was poured on them as a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon them for that office. And oil here is a symbol of God's Spirit coming upon a person to heal. And so the challenge here again is that elders can pray, not just apostles. And Jesus and Mark, the end of Mark would say any believer can pray and see people healed. And so miracles are not just given to authenticate the Bible or to authenticate truth. They do that, but that's not the only reason. And I can say that with confidence because the Bible says that the Antichrist and the false prophet will do miracles, and nothing that they have to offer is true. So miracles cannot just be given to authenticate truth or to say that the Bible is true and real and what we should honor the Bible. Although Jesus did miracles and the early church did miracles, and that did authenticate the truth that they brought, that's not the only purpose for miracles. One of the main reasons that Jesus did miracles was because he loved people and he had compassion for people. One of my mentors has always told me, pay attention when you read the New Testament, when you read the life of Jesus, because whenever you see the word compassion, he's getting ready to do another miracle. I'll just read a few to you from Matthew 14. 14 is one. There's many of these, and I'll just read a few. But Matthew 14, 14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stopped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Let's look at Matthew 20, 34. Matthew 20, 34. I'll start earlier in 33. Jesus heals two blind men in verse 33. Lord, they said, we want to see. And Jesus felt sorry for them, or he had compassion for them. Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes, and instantly they could see, and they followed him. You know, I want to read to you from Mark 1, verses 40 through 41. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. It's the compassion of Jesus that is the source of his miracles, and we need to have compassion for others. Luke 7, verses 1 through 15, or 11 through 15. Soon afterward, Jesus was with his disciples, went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I love these words. Jesus gave him back to his mother. And so it's the compassion of Jesus is the main reason for his miracles. He just can't help it. He was anointed with the Spirit. He didn't do any miracles until his baptism when he was anointed with the Spirit. And through the gifting of the Spirit, that same Spirit is available to the church. Jesus did many miracles, and the source was compassion. Examine. One of the ways that cessationists attack the ministry of healing prayer is by when they find out that a ministry can't claim supernatural miracles or begins to say that healing is available for today and people are being healed, then they go and examine that ministry and they search for doctrinal errors. And when they find something, they smugly dismiss the ministry and the miracle. when they find some form of doctrinal error, they say, well, this throw the whole ministry out. It's no good and the miracles are bogus. But I want to ask this question. Did the Galatian church have any doctrinal errors? And yet they were seeing miracles. How about the Corinthian church? Did they have any doctrinal errors? Absolutely. You know, the Galatian church, Paul said, who has bewitched you? You know, that you've turned to a different gospel. In the Corinthian church, all kinds of doctrinal issues. And yet Paul, he said, he stated himself, the miracles in both of those churches were real. He didn't dismiss the miracles that were taking place there. In Galatians 3:5, Paul said, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And here Paul is again saying what Peter said. It's not by your holiness or your godliness or you fulfilling the law that these miracles are happening. Paul's saying it's by your belief in Jesus that these things are happening. And I want to say this today in all love and kindness that, you know, that I would say that cessationist theology is a doctrinal error. You know, that God never intended for that to be the case. You know, you can ascribe to Reformed theology and not be a cessationist. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the highly acclaimed pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, used to say often the Bible was not given to replace the miraculous, but to correct abuses. And I would say Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a fine Reformed theologian. He was also fond of telling the well-documented account of the son-in-law of John Knox, who lived from 1514 to 1572. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was fond of telling the story of how John Knox's son-in-law was raised from the dead. Very well-documented fact from history. And so I want to say to you that, man, believe in God's power to heal. Believe that God wants to use you to pray for the sick. And it's as simple as keeping a prayer list and praying for those who are sick. It's not a flashy, showy ministry that brings glory to the individual. It's designed to empower God's church to minister to a world that needs us to pray more than ever before, a world that needs us to act like Jesus acted and do the things that Jesus did. And so if we question God's desire to heal, then we'll be less likely to pray for healing. And when we do, we'll pray with less faith. You know, Jesus never sent anyone away without healing them. He never said once, go ahead and suffer and it will make you stronger spiritually. Jesus never said that once. Every time in Scripture, when someone came to him and asked for prayer, he healed them. And I know that that's not our experience and that doesn't happen with us today, but I would say that maybe the error is on our side where we don't believe and where we've been shaped by a worldview that doesn't believe and where we've been told by our leaders for centuries that these things don't happen. And I want to say to you that they do. I've seen God heal. I've seen God heal instantaneously, and it's real, and I believe it with all my heart, and I'll never be argued out of that truth. I also know that not everyone is healed that's prayed for, but I want to encourage you that doesn't mean that we stop. Whenever we share the gospel and some people don't respond, we don't stop sharing the gospel, and I'm not putting the blame on the person. I'm saying maybe the blame's on us. Maybe we as leaders and as priests, the priesthood of all believers, are not seeking God and seeking the Holy Spirit and seeking the fullness of God to be who we need to be for God in this world. So I want to encourage you to pray and have perseverance. Not everyone you pray for will be healed. And it may take multiple prayers before they're healed. Jesus had to pray for a person twice to be healed. Try to get your mind around that. Jesus prayed for a blind man. And he asked him, how does it look? Can you see? And he says, I see as though it were trees walking. And Jesus knew, okay, I need to pray again. And if Jesus needed to pray twice, how many more times would we need to pray maybe to see healing come? And so have perseverance and believe and trust the Lord. We need to pray with faith, and we need to pray with love and not put blame on a person when they're not healed. Maybe we're the issue and not them. But together we can seek God's love, His grace, His instruction, and His power. And so E. Stanley Jones, the great missionary, he said that there's five ways that God heals. And number one, He heals supernaturally through prayer, sometimes instantaneously, sometimes gradually over a period of time. Think about the lepers that came to Jesus for healing. You know, those lepers, it says, as they went, they were healed. And so sometimes it's a process, and sometimes it takes multiple prayers, but God heals through prayer. Number two, through medicine. Now, I'd like to say all healing is ultimately from God. It's what theologians call common grace. And so all healing is ultimately from God. God heals through doctors. And just remember, common grace, God is the one who gave those doctors a sharp mind. He's the one who gave those doctors the opportunity to study. You know, and common grace tells us that, you know, God has provided means for us to receive from that ministry of medicine. You know, Colossians 4:14, Paul continued to call Luke the physician, Luke the doctor. Luke 4:14, Luke the beloved doctor sends his greetings, and so does Demas. So when Luke came to Christ, he didn't give up being a doctor. He continued to be a doctor and to continue to serve others. Jesus said himself that healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And so Jesus himself validated the ministry of medicine. Number three, Stanley Jones said, you know, God heals through prayer, God heals through medicine. Number three, God heals conditionally. And what E. Stanley meant by this is forgive. Give up the resentment or the hatred, and your stomach issues might go away, or your high blood pressure. You know, E. Stanley Jones said, give up your self-destructive behaviors, and health will come. And so that's a type of conditional healing. Number four, through supernatural grace to endure. Supernatural grace. Have you ever visited someone who's sick to encourage them, and you come out encouraged because the Spirit of God is all over them, and the Spirit of God is giving them grace to endure until real healing comes? And lastly, the fifth way that God heals that E. Stanley Jones described is through Christian death. And that's where we as believers step out of this world and we step into the arms of Jesus. You know, the scriptures tell us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so Christian death is a real healing where we step out of this life into the arms of Jesus through healing. And so God heals in several ways. And there are misconceptions about healing. Not everyone, even in the early church, was healed. So we can't dismiss the healing ministry on those grounds. You know, you think about Paul had the gift of healing. Extraordinary miracles were worked at his hand, Luke tells us. And yet Timothy, his own disciple, struggled with health issues. And Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach, the antiseptic properties of wine, just to maybe remove bacteria, was the instruction of Paul to Timothy. And yet Paul had seen so many dramatic miracles. And so there's more at work than what we understand. It's so complex, but God is good, and He wants us to grow and to learn and to pray with faith. You know, many say, I've prayed, but I quit because I didn't see results. And I'd like to say to you today, keep praying. You're fighting to overcome a worldview that has lied to you for years, that these things don't happen. You'll grow in faith as you persevere, as you continue to pray. And there are unseen realities at war against the purposes of God and the ministry of His church. And I want to say to you, keep praying and pray for breakthrough. And if you persevere and you trust God and seek His face, you will see breakthrough. And I want to close with this question this morning. What if every believer on this planet was praying for faith for healing and for the eradication of this virus? And I want to challenge you, keep a prayer list. Fulfill the priestly duty of praying for healing. And I want to close with prayer. Lord, we love you. We praise you, God. We pray for your anointing to pray for the sick. We pray for all those who are struggling for this virus, with this virus, for healing. We pray for protection for our people and those who are working on the front lines, and even our medical personnel who are serving. God, we pray for healing and protection. God, we pray that you would awaken your church, even in the midst of a global pandemic, to begin to believe and to pray and to know what our inheritance is, to pray and see people healed. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer, email me, text me. I love you. God bless you. And we'll see you soon. We'll keep you posted. Thank you.